The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall bind up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations. And their offspring among the peoples, all who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Glory to you, God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then are you, Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have the answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As the prophet Isaiah said, now that they had been sent from Pharisees, they asked him, 'Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?' John answered them, 'I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandal.' This took place in Bethany across from Jordan, where John was baptizing. But the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ."
Speech in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, does anybody know what John the Baptist liked to eat? Locusts. You know what a locust is? It's like a big grasshopper. I'm told it's extremely good protein and it's good for you. And he had wild honey. Wild honey would be all right though, wouldn't it? Maybe he needed honey on the locusts to make them edible. Who knows? John the Baptist is a man sent by God to speak on God's behalf. He says, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So he had the mantle of what we call a prophet, and he didn't take on the label, but he was indeed a prophet. And he spoke to the people, and he told them that God is coming to visit his people, and they needed to repent, which is to turn away from your sins and go in the opposite direction. We have to change our mind to repent, not just say sorry. You know when you say sorry and you get told that's not good enough because you didn't mean it? Yeah, happens, doesn't it? Sorry, yeah, you didn't mean that. Say it again and mean it. So when you repent, it means saying sorry but meaning it, because you want to change your mind and your heart and do something the right way round. So that's what that word means, technical word, but it comes from a word that means basically to turn around and go the other way. So John was doing that, and John was out in the desert in his camel hair shirt and his leather belt. Must have been a sight. And today I thought that you might like to eat some locusts. Do you want to eat some locusts? No? Oh, maybe we'll just make them. Would you like to make some locusts? Because we have some locust things to make out here, and we've got some other things there as well. I've got some Christmas baubles. If you're not into locusts and you'd like to decorate a bauble, they're out there too. So if you'd like to, if any of the young ones would like to go out here, Michelle's going to go out with them. Michelle's our children's assistant, and a parent's welcome to go with. But if you'd like to go out and do something rather than sit here and let me bore you to tears, you're welcome to go and do that, okay? So don't worry, I'll call you in when the wedding's on. It's all good. So, so if you want to go out and do some of that, you're really, really welcome. The locusts, you've got to cut them out, colour them in, put them together, and then we'll see what a locust looks like. You're welcome to do that. You're welcome to be here. Either way, it's all good. So, John was a prophet who didn't want them to label him. You notice when they said, are you the Messiah? He said, nope. And then they said, well, are you the... My notes. They said, oh, are you the Messiah? He says, no, I'm not Messiah. No, I'm not the one who's coming in. No. So are you Elijah? Because the Old Testament prophets had said Elijah would come first. He says, no, I'm not Elijah. Oh, okay. Are you a prophet? Nope, not a prophet. No, not the prophet, not the prophet. No. So who are you? It's interesting. Have you ever had somebody label you? You know, the world's really good at labels, isn't it? And we do this. We take somebody and we say, that person is this. And we do it in all sorts of ways. And we see the media do it all the time, don't we? You get labeled. And so somebody does one thing and the next thing you know, they are that sort of person. Or perhaps you're trying to work out what's going on in the world, and we apply labels to what's going on. And sometimes those labels are not who we are. I think Christians get called lots of different labels. And some of them are real, and some of them I think are because people have labels for God that are not the right labels for him. Isaiah 61 tells us who our God is. It tells us Jesus read this as this was his mission to the world. And he reads this to the people in Nazareth, and then they try and throw him over a cliff because they didn't like the label. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Some people like to stop there because the next line is the day of vengeance of our God. And that's a label people put on God all the time because, you know, God must be angry with me. The day of vengeance of our God is the day of God's justice, when he actually brings in the justice that is right, the righteousness, the rightness that he alone holds, he brings into the world. And that's not about this angry God. And you know that one, that type of God everybody talks about, the one who comes along and goes, I don't like you. Psst. That's the sort of God a lot of people have, isn't it? The God with a big stick, and if I do anything wrong, he's going to whack me over the back of the head. That's not this God. The God who sets the prisoner free is not the God who whacks you over the back of the head. He's the one who comes to you in the midst of your mess and says, there's a better way, come with me. I'm going to lift you out of here. I want you to be free. I want you to be whole. I want you to be healed. I want to give you another chance. The day of the vengeance of our God is about that chance, that restoring of what is right. Because God has so much more for us. And one of the beautiful things about this passage, it goes on to tell us that he comforts those who mourn, that he provides for us, that he'll give us a garland instead of ashes and gladness instead of mourning. That's restoration. That will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. That is becoming God's people and being someone who shines with the light that Jesus brings into the world. It's renewal. That you build up the ancient ruins, raise up the former devastations, will repair ruined cities and the devastations of many generations. God is our repairer, and he repairs, he restores, he renews. That is something he does all the time because he loves justice. He hates robbery and wrongdoing. He'll faithfully make sure that the right is done. And yet still, he makes an everlasting covenant with us through Jesus. And the way he did that, of course, is because he sent his son to die, because we couldn't actually pay the price for the things that we do ourselves, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So the moment I do something wrong, I deserve death. And if God actually expected me to pay that death, then nobody would live past, oh, I don't know, about two. The moment we can speak, we open our mouth and say stuff we shouldn't say, don't we? It wouldn't work. No, Jesus paid that price, that death himself. And then rose back to life, was raised to life, and he gave us life in his name. That life is eternal. It doesn't die. It restores. It renews. It brings us to be people who live and have this as the way that we live. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are people whom the Lord has blessed. And then he goes on and he talks about one of the ways he restores. He says, the prophet says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being will exult in my God, for he's clothed me with the garment of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. That means that when I have come to the Lord and he has come to be within me, he's been my God, I'm saved through him, but also I become someone who can wear his righteous robe. I don't have to be good enough. I have to be God's enough. And when he clothes me with that robe of righteousness, he washes me clean and makes my robe white, and I get to be white like a bride adorned for her husband. I was getting there. Not quite in white, but that's okay. One of the beautiful things about God's restoration, isn't it, that he sometimes gives us another chance. He often gives us another chance. And sometimes over our lives, things have happened, and in the best of our intentions, we've come into places and those places haven't worked out for us for whatever reason. And The forgiveness and the grace of God allows us to leave those things behind and forgive, and then come into perhaps something which is going to restore for us what we have lost. And for Carol and Steve today, they are both in a second chance, third chance moment. But this is the way that God works. And there is grief in the loss of that which is behind. And that is okay. And there is a sense of what if that comes with stepping out again. But as Christians, we don't say what if. We say even if. Even if things go bad and we have trouble, God is with us. Even if we can't work it out, he will help us. Even if we have any sort of trouble in our lives from other things, he is there for us, because he's this God that sets the captive free, that binds up the brokenhearted, that gives comfort to those who mourn. And sometimes the greatest restoration is in the grieving and the joy that comes. We lost a beautiful lady this week. Her name was Irene. Irene's gorgeous. She's looking so forward to being with Jesus. And she would say to me every day, I can't wait to see him. I just want to go home now. Now, we're all grieving, but she's fine. Because she's received the reward and she's moved to that place of eternal life with him. And the eternal life started now. In this congregation with these people, she lived out that life. And now, through that death, she's moved into another life. God doesn't even let death take hold. We have a God who restores. We have a God who will give us back what has been taken away, sometimes not in the way we would prefer it, but always in the way that's best for us. And that change takes time to work with. But the same power that Jesus worked in is the same power that's with us now, because it is the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God is upon me, he says. And when John talks about Jesus, he says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. I'm baptizing you with water. And in Mark's gospel, he says, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And in Luke, it's the Holy Spirit and fire. Because God brings Holy Spirit into our lives through Jesus so that we have the power to live this way. And the beauty of this is that we get to live that out no matter what's going on. Now, we can label one another this or that or the other thing. There's only one label that I'm interested in. Follower of Jesus Christ. I'll take that one. I can say I'm a Christian, but everybody takes Christian and they turn it into hypocrite or other things. Follower of Jesus Christ is who I am, and I will live that way. And I encourage you to think about what following Jesus Christ in this is. So what I'm going to give you a challenge. When you go home, pull out Isaiah 61. And when you read it out loud and say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed Carol. He sent Steve to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent, put your name in. Put your name in, because this is your calling too. If you are a person who is Jesus' follower, then this is your calling too. You are here to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to release the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and to be part of what puts things right, because the righteousness of God is with you. through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So today, as we enter into a place of Holy Communion, we receive the body and blood of Christ by faith in the bread and the wine, or the grape juice if you need the grape juice. There's nothing different. Wine is just grape juice that's fermented. Those things are part of remembering that we are these people. And if someone decides to give you a label, qualify what they mean before you say yes to it. John didn't want those labels because he knew what they meant. Jesus didn't allow people to label him until the very end. And in the end, he let the label sit. Yes, he's Messiah. Yes, he's King of Kings. Yes, he is Emmanuel, God with us. And he's coming back. I'm looking forward to that. I'll get to see Irene again. Amen.